Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scripture, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family and your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in, for the most part, on relationships and edification. And today we have a tape on dealing with the myth of dating. The myth of dating. And it is dealing with Pastor Michael Todd. Pastor Michael Todd, I believe he pastored the church, Transformation Church, up in Tulsa, I believe, Oklahoma. So get close to your radio and listen as he talk about the myth of dating.
So I'm ready to preach this morning because I believe God has given me a word. Get out your phones, get out your Bibles, and we're going to go right into God's word. We are in week 3 of an 8-week series that we are calling Relationship Goals. And this series is really starting to uncover and help a lot of people. Amen. A lot of us need help in our relationships. And it's one of those things that we don't really talk about in church because it's one of those things that we feel should automatically be impacted by the relationship we have with Jesus. And so we don't talk about specifics like if I just get better, all my relationships will get better. And that is true. But sometimes you need some specificity with what we're talking about. Like sometimes I need to know, what does God's word say about certain things and certain issues and certain people and certain problems? And we've just decided to tackle something that everybody deals with, but there's not a lot of clarity on. And today, I want to go down this journey. But before I do that, I want to see who's in the room, okay? So I need everybody to help me right now. Even those who are watching online, I need you to help me with this, okay? So if I say something that agrees with your demographic currently in life, I want you to make some noise, okay? So I need all the people in the room to make some noise if you are single and available in the room. You better clap, girl. You better clap. She said, woo! Now I need everybody to open your eyes. Open your eyes. Look down the road. Okay? Okay, so we got our single and available people in the room. Okay, how many people are dating or engaged right now? Dating or engaged? They still making decisions. They're like, woo! Okay, how many people in the room are married? Yeah! Some of the single people look so mad right now. Like, calm down. We're excited. So now that I know who's in the room, I was thinking about the subject I was going to talk about today. And I went back to my childhood, and I want to see if we may have had similar childhoods, okay? So there was this song that used to be sung, like, on playgrounds and with other children, and it went something like this. It was like, Michael and Natalie sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S, and then, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, okay, so we had similar childhoods, okay? So this is what I was thinking, and this may be an overstatement. This might be an overstatement. But I was thinking about our relational journeys, and that might be, that phrase, that saying might have been the first time there was an explanation of relational progression in any of our lives. Think about it. People say, psychologists say that from the age of birth to 5, you learn the most that you will ever learn cognitively about how you're gonna live your life. And most parents aren't sitting down with 3- and 4-year-olds saying, this is how relationships should go. These are the progressions. So our first real explanation is, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in the baby carriage. And when I look at that, if that's what's programmed deep down in our minds and our hearts about relationship progression, it's a very vague and incomplete statement. Love, marriage, baby. I don't know how that works in your life, but I haven't walked up to many people and just loved them. That's right. Enough to say, can we get married? And then enough to have a baby with you. And because we live in a fallen world and our society is backwards and perverse, that sure is not the progression in everybody's life. Sometimes it's baby first. Then because we had a baby, might as well marry you. And since we married, Lord, could you please help me to love her? Or sometimes it's love, and then there's a baby, and we not really too sure about how we can trust each other, so maybe we'll get married. And just think about all the different scenarios. And so I said, God, why is that so incomplete? He said, Michael, I want you to help define a progression of relationship so that people can understand and know and reprogram, be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that there is a God way of progressing in relationship that has more parts than just love, marriage, baby. And I want to give that to you today. So this is what I think the relationship progression should look like, okay? The first one should be singleness. And I know that's not a popular one, but if you've never heard a message taught about singleness, you need to go back and listen to last week's message. Okay? Singleness is probably the most important time of your life because it's the time where God gets to reveal to you who you are. You become self-aware, you find purpose, you get identity. And Matthew tells us that we're supposed to love God, love ourselves, and then out of that love relationship, we can accurately love others. But most of us are trying to figure out how to love others before we learn how to love ourselves. So we're always looking to them to make complete our deficiencies because we never learned to be okay with us. And so I'm encouraging you to go back if you have not and listen to last week's message. Me and my wife were listening to it again yesterday because I listened back like game film. How can I get better? How can I keep going? And I was listening about 25 minutes again. I said, that is good. And not because I was preaching it. We were literally getting ministered to because God speaks through me. I'm just a vessel up here on Sunday mornings. Half of the stuff, I don't know what I'm saying. I just go back to my notes and I look back and I'm like, God, you said that through me? Thank you. And so this is a relationship of trying to get something to you. But as I was watching back, I said, man, if people would know what God wanted to do in their lives without a person and just with them, and to be content and okay in that season, they would be ready for marriage. The statistics say that 50% of all marriages end in divorce. The staggering thing about that is the figure for Christian marriages are almost the same. So why If we got God and the Holy Spirit and songs and worship and accountability, why is it ending up the same? I suggest to you, it may not be a relationship problem. It may be a singleness problem. And God wants to deal with our singleness. So go back and watch that. So first, it should be singleness. Then it should be what I'm going to talk about today, intentional dating. Everybody say intentional. Now, this is something that is not really talked about, but I believe this is the next progression, and I'll talk about it in a minute. Intentional dating, and then there should be an engagement. The period of time where we are committed and planning towards our wedding, or the time that we're going to make this thing consummated before God in holy matrimony. And then after engagement, there should be marriage, okay? And after marriage, there should be love. Now, Pastor Michael, why would you say love after marriage? I need to know that I love them before marriage. Have you read 1 Corinthians 13? Because the type of stuff you have to do to really love somebody, I don't know if you can truly do that in a full manner without sacrificing and giving up a lot for that person. I truly believe that you can like somebody a whole bunch. But until you have to give to that person like Christ gave for the church, lay down his life and sacrifice him, until she eat off your plate and ain't nothing else open for you to get to eat that night, and until the you're in a position where they're sick and you got to take care of them but still do your job and be like, there's certain things you don't learn until you get in the covenant. Let me prove it to you. How much did you love God before you accepted him as Christ? Most of us didn't learn to love God until after we got in covenant with him. And once we got in covenant with him, then we started to progress on our relationship of walking in love with him. So I just suggest to you that the love really gets solidified, identified, and really becomes real after you get married. Some of y'all are like, dang it. I told my wife, I said, after studying the word of God, you know how people be talking about they were in puppy love and all that other stuff. We wasn't in puppy love. We was just in heat. I see, what happens is this generation, we confuse passion with love. You just think because you're passionate about something, it's love. No, 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 baby. That's another L word of four letters, but it's called lust. We're engaged in what we see and what we feel and what we hear in the moment. But God wants to reveal to us love for him first and then love for another person. So that's the next progression. And then out of our love, we should reproduce. We should reproduce, hear me again, out of our love. Not out of our dysfunction. I counsel a lot of people who have babies because the person they're in relationship with won't pay attention to them. So they have a baby with that person so that they can give their full attention to somebody who needs them. I want you to see how sick and twisted that is in its seed form. Not that you're a bad person, but that child can never fulfill the void that you have placed in that person. And so what happens is many times people stay together because it's a business arrangement. They stay together because we got kids, we got to be together. But let me help you, your kids only can drink from the well that is in that house. And you think because you're not arguing in front of them, they feel it, they see it, they hear it. It's the atmosphere that is in their house. And then you're mad when they reproduce after their own kind. Somebody in your family has to stand up and break the generational curses. I think there's some people in this room this morning that are saying when it comes to relationship, it's not going to end the same way because I'm going to invite God into my relationship. And then I put this last point, repeat. Because I really feel like some people think that if they just get through this process, that it's good. I worked on my singleness. Now I'm intentionally dating. I got engaged, we got married, we love each other, we got children, and that's it. That's why the divorce rate for people over 45 has increased in the past 25 years. Because their project is gone. The thing we had in common to work on, our children, are gone. So now when I come home, I'm not asking for homework. I'm not getting them new J's. I'm not asking where's cheerleading practice. I got to look at you. We got to talk. We can go to the movies all day, every day. But I don't want to because I don't know you. Because I haven't kept perfecting myself. And so the greatest thing that you can do in relationship progression is repeat this cycle again. Put it back up there. After you get through this whole thing, you never need to stop being single in your relationship. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? I'm talking about what's the last thing you did to perfect yourself? What's the last thing you did to add to the marriage? Did you go back and take a finance course so y'all money can be like plack, 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 plack? Did you figure out another language so when you go to France, you can be able to see if they serving you good food or not? Did you add anything to the relationship? Many people stop perfecting who God's created them to be because they joined with somebody else. And all I'm saying to you is, once we move this, God says, I had a plan for you before you were formed in your mother's womb to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and give you a future. I want you to keep working on your singleness. And then if your marriage is going to last and be vibrant and have passion, I want you to keep intentionally dating. Yes. When's the last time you took your wife, your husband out on a date? Come on now. Me and my wife have to plan that stuff. Yesterday, I told her, I said, baby, I want to go out with you next Friday, and I want you to get sexy. You know how you just... She said, babe, I'm 8 months pregnant. I said, you better drape something over that stomach, girl. You better drape something over that. And she know what that means to me, and I know what that means to her. Why? Because we're going to intentionally date. We're going to make time. And what that does is that keeps it fresh. Don't just be with your mate chilling in the bed, watching movies. What happened to the pursuit? What happened to the thing that you, when you couldn't have her, you was chasing her. But now you're hearing like, hey, hey. And that's what we have to do. So keep going through the process. And I just want you to keep going on. You should be having engagements. Married people, hear me what I'm saying. You should have engagements. That's right. Engagements. There are more saved people who have horrible relational lives and sexual relationships. And that's not God's intention. The only reason he said that you're supposed to abstain from that stuff in a marriage relationship is when y'all fasting and praying and both of y'all agree. Y'all not ready. So if one party's like, I didn't feel God say that, I didn't. Y'all better hear the word. And a couple weeks from now, I'm going to do a whole message on the power of sex. And I don't want parents to get scared. I shouldn't bring my children on. They already know. Yes. Baby, if they are in the third grade, they already know what's going on. But wouldn't it be better if they got a biblical standpoint instead of a worldview from social media and e-news and, okay. So I'm encouraging every parent, get your kids here, okay? Because you need to, I didn't learn the stuff I learned about sex from my parents or a spiritual being. I learned it in sixth grade in the locker room. And it distorted my worldview for almost 15 years. And my parents, who love God and are pastors and have worship, had no idea what was being infiltrated into my life. Hear me when I say that it's time for the church to stand up and help people get the tools that they need to live. Not just exist. Oh, y'all can clap better than that. Because some of the brokenness that you've been dealing with is because nobody told you the right way to do it. And so we got to keep doing these things. And so today, I'm going to take the time to talk about dating. And I know some of you are like, dating, man, I'm past that stage. I'm married. I'm in this. But this is what I want to help you understand. That because this is not talked about, many people don't know how to talk about it. And so when your children, your grandchildren, you, or anybody gets into this realm, we just kind of leave it alone. And we're one of those things that we say stuff like, I wouldn't have picked them. You didn't teach them how to pick. Like, you know. know how people, I don't know who the fruit picker in your house is, but you know there's somebody in your house that knows how to go to the produce section and they knocking on stuff and shaking stuff. And they can tell if I'm not the fruit picker in my house. But I've learned if you get around the person who can pick fruit well, they will teach you how to pick fruit. Most people, when it comes to relationships, were not taught how to pick fruit. And so we get into things and we're frustrated and like, I just can't believe I raised him out of the night. And they just bring him in here and just, and look at him. Look at him. Like, and then, but no matter how educated they are, no matter how much you taught them about God, you didn't teach them how to pick fruit. And so today I want to help us learn how to pick fruit. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The children of Israel were in a place where they were just disobeying God. God had literally parted the Red Sea for them. He had done so many amazing things for them, providing manna for them. And they just kept making up their own idols and going their own way and doing their own thing. And then this is what the word of God comes in Hosea 4, 6. It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of what? Knowledge. They don't know. And I'm just trying to help us know some things so that we can be able to see clearly. What the Message version says, I love it. It says, my people are ruined because they don't know what's right and they don't know what's true. So the title of today's message is The Myth of Dating. The Myth of Dating. And I'm going to try to dispel a few myths that we may have about dating and see what God says about these things. The first myth I want you to write down is that dating is biblical. That's a myth. Dating is not biblical. Some of you are like, okay, Pastor. Then why are we talking about it? Because it's a real issue in our society, in our culture. The Bible is very selective and specific on what it talks about in relationship. And it's pretty silent when it comes to this thing called dating or courtship. And so this furthers our problem of not knowing how to get into relationship, because we're supposed to consult the word of God on certain things. But what scripture do I go to see what I'm supposed to do? And so then we just try to get to marriage. And then I know what it says about marriage, because there's a lot of stuff about marriage. But dang, I picked wrong. So I'm trying to make this thing work with the wrong ingredients. And this cake is nasty. Even though it's not very specific on the topic of dating, the Bible is very clear on what type of company we should keep, on the boundaries we should set in relationship, and the character of the people that would be life partners with us. And so we're going to pull some different things together and draw some context clues and see what type of person we should be dating. But the reason I want to say this is because I really feel like I could have left this point out and just gone on. But I'm tired of the church not knowing what it's talking about. Like people, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 6 and 18 about, no, it doesn't say that about dating. And we need to be able to know that as we communicate with people, what the word of God says. Let me just give you a little bit of history. Dating and courtship, those are ideas that were man-made, that were made about 200 years ago, okay? And it was a way to get people in relationship, a single man and a single woman trying to find out if they were compatible so they could get in, go further in their relationship and marriage. Courtship, because some people are like, nuh-uh, dating is bad. Courtship is what, they're both man-made. I want everybody to hear me say this. And so whatever you decide to do, okay, that's good with you. But you got to put God in the middle of it. See, because courtship was usually done with the parents being right there at every moment. So literally you wouldn't kiss, you wouldn't touch, you wouldn't hold hands, you wouldn't hug. And every time you meet, both sets of parents would be there right with you just staring. How much intimacy do you think that you can develop with mommy and daddy sitting there all the time? So a lot of those marriages didn't work. There was a whole bunch of these things that happened. But I do believe that if we put God in the middle of this situation, we can find out what the word of God says. So the first myth is that dating is biblical. It's not biblical, but we can draw context clues from what God is trying to say. The second myth, dating is wrong. Dating's not wrong if God is in the middle. And I want everybody to hear me. That is a huge caveat. Dating is not wrong if God is in the middle. And many of us try to do things without God, and we ask for his blessing and his results. God, bless this relationship that is horrible from the beginning and is totally jacking up my purpose. Just bless it, God. Okay, let's be honest. How many people have prayed a backwards prayer before? Like, you knew you was doing wrong, but you was just asking God to just come on in and just soup that. All I'm saying to you is, when you put God in the middle of something, everything changes because everything surrounds God. We're not asking God to come and surround it. Amen. Get the picture. When God is in the middle, everything surrounds God. Not us doing something and asking God to surround it. So whatever you do, you need to put God in the middle.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we're going to pick right back up there tomorrow. That was Michael Todd, Pastor Michael Todd, talking about the myth of dating. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters. Situation Room.